Session number 1127, Reel 5.
Mr. J.F. Bell, Reel 5.
About Bren guns.
Yes, we were issued with Bren guns in China and took the loose guns off us. And we didn't really start doing any training on them till Tintin. And I will remember this. There was an alarm, you know, the usual. And we turned out, and our section was laid across a bridge. A couple of hundred chinks on the other side, all yelling and bawling.
Were these chinks or Japs?
Chinks. The Japs were, you know, right. Starting to cause a bit of an argument. And this lad with a brain, he looked at me and said, what's the matter? He said, I wonder if this bastard thing fires. I said, I don't know, I hope you don't have to find out.
So you had the gun and you'd never even fired it?
Never even fired a shot out of it. So anyway, we go back to Tintin, then we went to Shanghai Quant to fire our annual course. This all appertains to Bren guns. We gets down there. Gets down with these Brens. No bugger knew nout about them. Even the bloody armourer didn't know what the hell to do. He was putting it on single shot and it was firing burst. Put it on burst and firing singles. And, oh, dear me. I said, they're no bloody good, them things. So, you know, I said, well, we've got them. We'll have to make the best of them. We didn't know whether what the hell was the matter with them. But they never seemed to fire right for us. You seem to get down right. Short bursts. Fire one round and stop. You do the usual eye, you know, look for a misfire or something like that. And the armourers couldn't do anything. Maybe time he went on the range, and he always went an armourer who was supposed to go in with you. He couldn't do it that well. So that was it. So then, I'll come back now to the invasion part, or the training
now,
part.
This is when you're on the canal?
Yeah, this is when we're on the canal. I also packed in being a coup there.
Where did you go?
I forget the name of the place. Now, it was only a little place. Just, like, I'm saying this side of Geneva. I don't, you've heard of Geneva, have you? The big base depot. This was further down towards the Bitter Lakes.
And this would be about what, early 1941?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it must have been very early. Not early, yeah. And nobody knew, we were all saying, where the hell are we going anyway? There were three clan boats there. Huh? And we're just going on, getting off in boats and. None of this, what you see on the pictures, you know, none of that. Just ordinary lifeboats and down and we didn't know whether we went to Sicily or further up there, you know, go up the desert trying to bypass them. What the hell was going to happen? But anyway, I told you I was cook at the time and this morning I was hardly cook. And was fish cakes for bloody breakfast. Salmon fish cakes, which, you know, boys mashed potatoes and tinned salmon in. And they brought the breakfast forward from 7:30 to 6:30. And the bloody no-fat fry in the buggers. This cook sergeant come in. I looked. Well, he used to be a cook in the 2nd Battalion in Khartoum. And he was no bloody good then. And he said something to me. I said, if you don't fuck off, I said, I'll wrap this bloody lock round your neck. Well, I turned round, the bloody hardly officer was stood behind him.
Do you remember his name?
No, I can't remember his name. You know, you're going back to, Khartoum, you know. And I thought, well, that's it. Bugger this. So I went up and saw Freddie Bush. He was quartermaster. He returned me to duty. He said, what's the matter? I said, bloody coop sergeant you've got. I said, me and him don't mix at all. All right, he said, return to duty. So I returned back to my duty and started doing my ordinary training, you know, ordinary soldiering.
So you went back to a company, did you?
Yeah, I went back to A Company. The funny thing, I did all my service in the air company abroad, and the dome, apart from Brantford, like. So anyway, next thing we knew, up the desert we goes again. Well, look, where the hell are we going this time? We gets up as far as, where did we get? Oh, saloon. I always remember this. Look, the saloon, there was a little scufflers, we call them around here, little cargo, unloading petrol, you know, the jerry cans of petrol, all stacked on the beach. Look, So up we goes, and we finished up in Bardia. We gets in there, must have been about, what, 8 o'clock at night, something like that.
Any idea what time of the year this was?
It must have been March. This is when the Tobruk was besieged. The start of it, you know, when the Jerrys came round and besieged the Aussies. So it must have been March.
See?
Back end of March. See, we never bothered with days or bugger all. Couldn't tell you what day it was or what the bloody day it was in the book at all else. I just lived from day to day. So anyway, gets into Bardia. I said, I wonder how long we'll be here. Anyway, we get to the bloody port south and all the rest of it, you know. 2 o'clock in the morning, right, get yourself ready, get out. We're going back. When you get on the top, there'll be an armoured convoy, armoured escort for us. We'll get up there, 2 bloody scout cars and a Bren carrier. An armoured escort. So where we goes back, and we finished on top of Hellfire Pass.
Had you had any fighting at this time?
No, we'd never fired a shot. We'd just gone up the Bardia. We hadn't been in there about 4 or 5 hours, and then just came back. We went back on the top of Hellfire Pass. Well, there, we built Sangers, if you know what a Sanger is. Northwest Frontier expression. You know, you've got rocks. And we were over the pass goes up, Hellfire Pass. You know, where the ledges were, he just built a row of rocks around yourself. We were up there about 10 bloody days, I think. And nothing really happened. When we looked for about 4 or 5 days after, all this petrol that set fire to it, it was stacked along the beach. And we were still there 4 or 5 days afterwards. Then they came and said, right. Well, a little incident happened where one of the lads went bomb happy. That was on Akak, the Bren gun. The kid come here, he said, you've been out of Saudi. Better come and have a look with him. I said, what the hell's the matter? Oh, he's lying in the corner, you know, the way I've got. I said, hey, tell that bloody Lance Corporal there to either clip him one. I said, if he won't do it, send for the bloody platoon commander. They sent for the platoon commander. And he belted him one. The lad come from round Whitby somewhere. That's to sent him back. And the next
when you say he belted him one, did the platoon commander hit him?
Oh, aye, you know, like you would do somebody in hysterics. Yeah, I mean, I don't mean that, you know, give him a bloody... You know, just like somebody being hysterics.
Who was your platoon commander?
Oh, I forget his name now. He was only with us about 12 when he belonged down. Never bother with bloody names. But anyway, so we went top of there. And, right, we're retreating. Oh, another little incident you might like to hear. Just, you know, it's coming on. There's a bloody Aussie, I don't know what they'll Akak gun, what the hell they call them, Bofa, there. And this bloody plane come along. Well, what they normally had to do was to flick the wings up to show the roundels, you see. Of course, he didn't, so the buggers had a belt at him. And brought him down. He landed about 3 miles away.
And he was one of ours.
He come back, and a 6'2" bloody Aussie. Tiny bloody air out he was. Oh, them bastards with that lot. Of course, they'd gone. But we never fired a shot there.
Didn't see any of the enemy at all?
Oh, he used to go out on patrols on the night, you know, like recce things, you know, listening for traffic and all the bloody rest of it. But I said, right, retreating at 10 o'clock tonight. Ah, right, oh. Now, when you're down the pass, the RAs will come and blow the bugger up. Man, it was like that, don't you? With a pretty. You can guess what happened. They blew the bugger up before we started to come down. So anyway, we get down to the bottom. And when we'd gone up before, we'd come up with, you know, 3-ton trucks, 5-ton trucks with Scots Guard drivers. And they took them back and they brought the RAOC from England. Right, get in them trucks. Gets on. And we then get started. Yeah, these kids straight from England hadn't a clue how to drive during the night in the desert. Well, we could tell just that blare, and just that difference in the shade. In the, there was a tarmac road from Saloon to down to Mersey. And this bloody officer, old officer, was getting bloody madder and madder. He said, "What's the matter with you?" "I can't see, sir." "And give you the buddy a bloody rifle. Knock the bloody windscreen out." Next thing we knew, we were in the bloody ditch again. "Get off there and let one of my bloody blokes drive it." Oh, and we finished up in the ditch again. We finished up, we went down, about 6 or 7 of us, on top of Aussie Portu, that was a 2-pounder 90 tank gun, down to just past Mersey, till we got sorted out again. Then we went down, we finished up somewhere around about Darba, around about where the aerodrome was. That's right, yeah. With the aerodrome on the top, we were doing anti-parachute bloody guard for them.
Had you lost any men?
No.
In the actions at all?
No. Lost, well, not yet. We'd lost one or two, you know, in areas and things like that. We're not really, see, we'd never really been in action. You know what I mean? We'd been there. I was thinking, we were lucky. We never got caught in a convoy. I'm talking about Strafford by aircraft. And I thought myself, by hell, we were pretty lucky. Up and down that bloody desert like yo-yo. And we never really got caught with a Stuka or something like that. Or a Messerschmitt. So, but anyway, I went to go, oh, I want this pretty aerodrome thing. It was an advanced aerodrome. It'll go to bomb Benghazi, so they used to come down and refill the petrol and up there. So. But anyway, where's that bring us to? What brings us to what? March, April, didn't it? Ah. The next thing we knows, now I don't know whether you know this, there was only 2 battalions of guards in Egypt at the time, the Scots Guards and the Coldstreams. Now the Coldstreams were always up the desert with us, and we used to call the Scots Guard the Cairo Bloody Scottish. They were mountain guard on Farouk and that. Next thing we know, we're in the Bloody Guard Brigade. So anyway, we goes up and when was this? May the 15th, I think it was. We goes up. The Scots Guards goes into Hellfire Pass to take it. I think there were 2 or 3 casualties. Took about 600 prisoners. Scout the Ardine goes through the bloody wire, that's the international border, you know, between Libya and Egypt, in his truck. Now what happens? I'm on the Durrans. He gets in there and poof! You know, Bookery was waiting for us. We lost, three platoon commanders in the first minute. No bugger knew what the hell they were doing, where they were going or what. At least I didn't. No bugger else seemed to. And I had this Bren gun with us. So I looked, I thought, well, I was in the bloody open. Need to be candy. I thought, what the hell am I going to do here? That bloody thing looks a long way, from, you know, a bit of cover. And I couldn't see no bugger. I didn't know where any bugger was. I just said, oh, there's only one thing. I lie dead here. The thing's pretty quiet and down. That must have been an hour after. I heard somebody shout, "Can you hear out?" I said, "What? No. Listen." When we looked up, there's 5 bloody tanks coming at us. And every bugger up and off like hell. There was no orders given to retreat. And I looked at that Bren gun and said, "Them boogers can have you, you know, pretty good to me." And I just left the booger there. Eh? Anyway, we get 1,500, with about half a dozen of us. Yeah, you talk about dry humour, whatever you want to call it. A couple of shells come up, we all dropped. Metford, "Silly boogers, you're too late, you know." He said, "When you hear it, you're too bloody late. No good ducking then." But anyway, we get down. And when the sergeant majors picked us up, I forget me, Scott, I think they called him. But anyway, get down to Brigade HQ. Talk about bluff. We're all getting piled round. This brigadier, little fat bloke he was, out there lives a fat bloke, a Scotch brigadier, I don't know. I give no orders to retreat. Won't give you orders to retreat, you know. He was yelling and bloody bawling. And one of old blokes from the back shouted, hey, you can go and fight them bastard tanks with a rifle. I am not. And if you'd had that RSM, you know, the brigade had, who was that? Who was that? You're a proper bloody guard, bloody, you know, you see them with a hat shut. Get out, it's a lot of you. They scattered us. We had about, I think it was 350 casualties in about 2 hours.
Who was your company commander?
Paddy May.
What do you know what happened to him when he was up there?
Do I hell? Like come out, he was the only officer come out, like, you know, with us. He was still out company command. He was the only, how he got out, I don't know. But anyway, he got out. Two or three of my mates got out. Well, a couple of them got out. But, what was I going to say? Oh, I've read the Churchill's History of the Second World War. Have you read it? And we mentioned Paul Capuzzo. No, that's a silly old book. He, you know, he said, had fought away and chased out with bloody, you know, heavy bloody reinforcements by the enemy. Chased out with bloody tanks. I mean, if I tell you, it'll only be here, say, if I tell you what was told me. And a couple of lads, I know. I said, what happened to Oscar? Got that wild corporal, a nice lad, you know, everybody liked him.
Was Oscar his surname? What was his surname?
Yeah, yes, Wild. They called him Wild, so every book called him Oscar, you see. I forget his best name now. And I said, well, what happened? Jimmy Carroll, he lost his arm there. Well, he said, Paddy May said to this kid, a young lad, he'd just come on to his man service, a van boy. Right, go back to HQ, tell them I want artillery or tank support, now. And Wild said, ah, leave him there, I'll go, sir. We just got out half a dozen yards away from this bit of a sangha, riddled him. And the other bookum, this Medford, I could tell you a few stories about him, but I went near him. And he got up, he never wore a tin hat, and he strolled across the battalion HQ, and he never got a bloody scratch. We got the MM for it. It just shows you, though, doesn't it?
Did you see Medford, or is this what you were told?
Yeah, so I was told this. I'm more interested in my bloody self than them. So you know what the hell's going on here, you know, I mean, you have to look after your bloody self, you see. You know what I mean, it's doings. But anyway, then we came down and we got reinforced. Where this bloody brigade, bloody sergeant major, get the hell out of it, you know. So we went in disgrace. And where the hell did we go then? Derby. We got reinforced. And we finished up, what they call that mini camp in Cairo, El Mir or something. It's just where the pyramids are, you know. Gets reinforced and everything. Right, where we're going? Well, you wait tomorrow. Where? I don't know. Next thing we know, we're on a bloody train into Palestine. Went to Sarafan, they call the camp. Stopped the night there, into trucks, and we opened a bloody Syria.
This would be when?
This would be what? June. Maybe June 40, 41. Relieved the Aussies in a place called Merjuan.
What are your memories of that?
A bloody Merc coming out, welcoming us with open arms, relieving them from French oppression. Look at the bloody state of it now. This is Beirut and that area. See the state of it now?
Did you have much opposition from the French?
No, not when we went up. We went to relieve the Aussies, and the Aussies came back, you know, and we were it was like a valley. We were on this side, and the Free Polynesian was on the other. Fired half a dozen shells over in the morning, and we would do the bloody same, more or less just to say, wake up. So, I forget the hell was a tongue officer then. without that bloody many, you know, who didn't know, get to know them, really. Said, right, patrols. I'm going on patrol tonight. I want volunteers. Not one man stepped forward. See his face. I said, you don't do that, sir. I said, you detail them. Oh, he said, He went on patrol and got himself two bloody prisoner for a day. And the next night, the bloody scout yard iron goes out, that's the CO. Come galloping back at 4 o'clock in the morning. Right, pack your gear, we're on. They've gone. They'd gone. So we had to chase them. We started about, 5 o'clock in the morning. We marched till about 8. They give us a cup of tea and a couple of bloody sandwiches. And we marched the whole bloody day again. Till we didn't catch up with them, actually. I remember we got to one village. We'd see it up on height. Right, you better go and see what's up there. Oh, this bloody kid here. I said, hey, you, have you got any bloody ammunition in there? Oh, fuck, he said, don't take me prisoner. This is one of these, the lads have been called up. I said, never mind you, what about bloody me and him, get somebody in there. So anyway, we get up to this bloody village. Where have you been? We've been waiting all day for you. Hey, bloody village people. He brings a bloody big pan of bloody fried eggs out and bread. We're just going to sit down and eat it. Come on the bloody move, the bloody paddy meal. Come on the bloody move. We still didn't get our bloody eggs and bread. And we finished up poor. Where the hell it was, I don't know. But on a bloody ridge. It'd be what? About 11 o'clock. Right, stand down. Now what the hell's happening? And busted froggies fired everything the bloody hat at us and signed armistice at 12 o'clock. We never fired a bloody shot back. It was bloody comical. And when we went up, you know, they went into camps and we had to go around them. We couldn't go through the bookers. We finished up, we finished in a little valley. And Mount Hermon was on the right-hand side, snow-capped. Barmy bloody, right. I'm going up the snow line in the morning. Who's coming? There'll be 2-3-ton trucks here. Get yourselves in. Scout the yard down. We're going up to the snow line. She said, all right, for that bugger. Well, on the other side, just a little mound, you know, it wasn't very big. Just a little tar. But you had to go up and down that bucket every morning twice before you got your bloody breakfast. And all the officers. It was a bucket of bleed, and a fit soldier was a good soldier was a fit soldier. But anyway, we finished up, where'd we go then? We finished up on the Damascus Barrel Pass. This stupid book. Oh, yes. Of the little, we dug a bloody hole in the rock, about the size of this bed. Right, plunge pole. Oh, the book. You don't go in, it was bloody freezing.
So he was keen on fitness?
Oh, aye. Oof. You had to dive in the book, man. You just straight in and straight out, like, you know.
Was he well liked, Adern?
Yeah, well, how can I put it? He was and he wasn't, if you know what I mean. The only thing we said about him was this. He would never ask you to do anything he wouldn't do his bloody self. And you knew that. If he said, you go there and do that. And you said, you go and do the booger shit and I'll get there and do it. He knew that, sir.
What about me?
I never had much use for him myself. Well, I never had a lot to do with him, to tell you the truth. We're all out in his company. He never seemed to see the bugger. So, you know, you had your 3-4 sections, the HQ. He was always in his bloody HQ. Huh? So, anyway, we goes up we're there. Anyway, we left there and we went up to Aleppo. gets up there and we went in one of the French barracks, you know, took it over. Yeah, well, it's a change anyway. Hadn't been there for what? 6 or 7 hours. Pater Edwards couldn't. I don't know whether you knew him or not, did you? No. Pater Edwards. Oh, you wouldn't know him. He was our colour sergeant. Weren't you? And you and you. Three of us. All old soldiers. Wanted to take tapes. I pissed off. We didn't want no bloody tapes. We didn't, you know. Said, look, it's like this. He said, I've got 4 guys to mount. I haven't got the NCOs to mount them with. So, all right, go on then. Yeah. And with this up the sea, we've got a rollicking off him. You know, but we're all blessed with, what, 8 and 9 bloody year service in.
Why did he rollick you? Because he didn't want them?
He thought, yeah, because we wouldn't bloody well have them, you see. And he thought, like, you know, with our experience and all that shite, you know, that we should have been made NCOs long before we were, like, you know, but... Well, we got me at 2 o'clock order room. Bloody 4 o'clock, I'm on the bloody square mounting HQ guard. I'm with no IC reliefs and a bugger on, just a bloody Lance Corporal and 6 men. And it was what? I said, right, if any of the any of the froggies come in wanting to, you know, he said, they'll have to go and join the Free French. They can't join us, you know. There was 3 bloody big blocks. Bloody, what the hell do they call them? Them Sengalese or some bugger came in. We joined the British Army. Nah. Well, they wouldn't move. Ah, I said, you'd better send for... We had an officer there. Oh, I'm forgetting his bloody name now. But he didn't belong to us. He belonged to Somerset. He could speak French. You'd better send for him. So he come down with tomorrow. I said, them 3 there. He said, tell you what to do. He said, put them in the guard room. No, he said, just give them a bed for tonight. And then in the morning we'll send them round to their Free French, you know. So, oh, fair enough. Well, look, oh, big bastard. Well, anyway, when they got up in the morning, he started cleaning teeth with bloody shaving soap, you know. I said, we'll give them a bit of breakfast. And that was the last we saw of them.
Did you see many French? Did you come across many French?
No, they wouldn't allow us to mix with them. We saw a few later on, you know, when we were getting round Aleppo, you know.
Was there any trouble with them?
Not as far as I know. They might have been further down, I don't know. But the orders were, you see, they had to segregate them. Them that didn't join the Free French were sent straight on, put straight on ships and away back to France. Huh? So, and really speaking, we didn't have a lot to do with them. Huh? So, anyway, we've been there. I don't know. Now, when the Red Cap shot the Aussies, well on then. There was a brothel there, you know. And there was all sorts in. But, like, British tonight, for the Aussies the next night, the odds and sods the next night, and then, you know, it kept changing on. And there was a policeman and the bloody dog, and they were all armed, Aussies as well. And this, as far as I can make out, this Aussie, we know what Aussies went half shot. Pulled his bloody revolver out, the old bloke just went bang. He got the first one in. So there was a bit of bother over that. But apart from that, we did a bit of training on the bloody Turkish border, you know. Had a bloody field full of watermelons, you know, them funny June melons. So naturally we started helping ourselves. Next thing was a bloody big Turk galloping over his horse. Anyway, that's a fair. I'd give him, you know, maybe 20 or 30 quid to cool him off.
then you would move back to relieve the Australians in Tobruk, did you?
Ah, well, I was going to tell you about the leave first. I said, right, due for leave, where do you want to go? You could either go to Beirut, Palestine, Tel Aviv or Jerusalem. We go, we'll go to Tel Aviv. It took you 2 bloody days to get there. You had to go down through Baalbek, then up into Beirut. And then from Beirut, he went to Haifa, and Haifa down to Billy Tel Aviv. We got into Tel Aviv about, what, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. 8 o'clock, the bloody Red Caps. Right. 6 o'clock in the morning, you're off. We only got there about 4 o'clock.
What had caused that?
That bloody Iranian do. Everybody was getting a bit hot and bothered about the Jerry's getting into
Iraq
and Iran. Iran more than Iraq, I think. But anyway, we said, right, we've all got half shot. Staggered out the next morning. We get to Haifa and the bus. Change buses there. We get to the border along the crossroad, you know. This is doing one thing about that place. The buggers wouldn't let us through. Bus half Aussies and half bloody British troops. That driver's got no passport. He's not coming through here. Look way up. So where we got to go back to Haifa. So we had a night in Haifa. The next morning we get started again. Everything got all right. We went through to Beirut. We'd missed the bloody convoy. So instead of getting me 5 days leave in Tel Aviv, I had me 6 days leave in bloody Beirut. It's a beautiful place, that.
Had the convoy moved down to the desert? Were they on
No, they'd gone back to the unit. Up to, Aleppo and round that bloody area, the convoy had gone. Maybe.